Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of the Nerdiest Podcast in the Midwest, the one where we are discussing the aftermath of D23. We are the Midwestern Nerds Podcast. I am your host, Brian Stoffel, joined, as always, by...
K.O. Kyle Olsen in person?
For the first time in the flesh.
Ever? Question mark?
Yeah. Well, we're friends, so we hang out in person, but this is the first time I think we've ever recorded in person.
It's not the first time we've ever met.
No. If it was, that'd be a little weird. It'd
be kind of funny. No, but the first time we're able to record in person, which is super exciting.
Yes, so we are coming to you recorded from Kyle's hotel room.
Hell yeah. Company paid.
That's all right. So, who are we? We are your Midwestern Nerds. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds Podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can stream and listen to this podcast wherever you can listen to a podcast. Last week, we promised you a lot of big news, a lot of big bombs being dropped, especially in the Marvel Star Wars vein of things. And unfortunately, there wasn't a whole lot that was dropped.
Yeah, it's a good thing that we didn't do our predictions like we planned on, because God, would we? I mean, I was still disappointed because of the predictions that I had in my head anyway.
The hype around D23 and the announcements that were coming out was so high. Because of how much they announced at Comic-Con earlier this year.
Mostly, especially for Marvel, they announced so much of Phase 6. And, like, leading up to, I can't even remember what point. But then when they showed Secret Invasion and the Kang Dynasty, there was a huge empty timeline. So everyone was like, oh my god, that... cool. That means they'll announce stuff at D23.
Plus, they're like, Fantastic Four is going to be the opener of Phase 6, but that's all we're going to tell you about that. And then we'll save the rest of this for a later date, which was like, okay, Kevin Feige, I see what you're doing. Like, Disney and Marvel and all of that, they've been really hyping up D23 over the last couple of years as like, this is Disney's convention. This is the place where Disney drops and announces all of their big things. They did that like before COVID 2 years ago. They announced like all like the shit that was coming out for Marvel during that. So like hype was high for this.
Yes.
You come to D23 and it's like, hey, we're going to give you a little bit, but it's stuff that we could have dropped at any point in time. We're going to give you some trailers that we could have easily dropped on a Tuesday morning.
Of things that we already announced.
Yes.
And we're not going to elaborate on pretty much anything.
The things that we didn't get to see from Comic-Con. Yeah, we'll show the people that are coming to D23 some of that stuff. Not all of that stuff.
No, not even.
Some of it. We'll just, you know, let the good times roll, right?
I mean, like, come on. Like, what are they saving some of these announcements for? Like, what? Okay, when is Fantastic Four actually coming out? Because, like, there's no way. Like, they're not going to be able to announce this, right? Because it's coming, I guess it's coming 2024. So, like, they're probably going to announce it next year at Comic-Con or whatever, D24.
The one thing that I can give to Fantastic Four of, like, why they didn't announce the cast, maybe they don't have all four, like, locked down. Maybe they've got like two or three of the four like already locked down with contracts, but they're still in negotiations with like a couple of the other ones. It like, yeah, you could announce Reed and Sue, or
just announce one of them,
or you could wait and announce all four at the same time.
Yes, however, if they start filming within the next calendar year before the next at anything that they can announce things at, it's gonna leak. There's no way that it won't leak and that it won't get just announced on Twitter, probably.
Or
so, like, why not announce the people that you already know if that's what we're waiting for?
Or like Variety or the Hollywood Reporter will get like the exclusive like announcement of like, oh hey, this is the cast, like here it is.
It's just shocking that you wouldn't want to take that for yourself, though, at D23. Like, the only thing that they announced, again, another wrong prediction for me, but the director, Matt, was Matt Skaman?
Matt Shack,
Shackman.
which is good news,
It's...
but at the same time, it was an announcement that was already announced.
Yes.
This came
Before
out,
D23.
yeah, this came out on, it was either the Hollywood Reporter or Variety. It was one of those Hollywood
Yep.
like news websites announced already that he was, because I think we talked about it on this show.
I think we did mention it. I think, yeah. But I, so also, so this strikes me as, I mean, it doesn't really faze me as much. I don't super pay attention to directors necessarily. This strikes me as something that you would have an issue with because of his past work that I've seen. It was like WandaVision, yeah, sure, but like Always Sunny. Like, that to me screams like this is gonna be another comedy like Ragnarok.
Not necessarily.
No?
I
Okay.
mean, he did that. He's got like a bunch of other like highly acclaimed TV
Okay.
stuff
All right. That makes
under
me
his
feel better
belt.
then.
Plus, like you said, WandaVision, like
Yes, exactly.
that right there is just like, okay, that was your test run. You passed with flying colors.
Yeah.
Feige signed the paper. He gave it to you. Boom. You get like one of the biggest projects in Hollywood coming up.
You have to assume, with the lack of an announcement, it's not John Krasinski.
I was already kind of feeling that
I
way.
think me too, which it okay, for me disappointing. I don't know. Like, I think I said it right after Multiverse of Madness. They did their fan service, they gave us Krasinski, and now you can go another way if you want to. I still want Krasinski. Maybe that's just a personal taste. I think whoever they pick is going to be great. I think if it was Krasinski, they would have just brought him out. Even if it's just him, you don't have to bring out the rest of the four. I think they would have brought him out and said, hey, he's going to return as Mr. Fantastic. So I think it's pretty safe that, like, I'm 95% sure now that it's not going to be Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic.
It blows my mind that it wasn't announced though,
It's
because
crazy.
days before D23 came out, there were rumors going around on like the big Hollywood like news outlets from reputable sources, multiple reputable sources saying that the, and I didn't see this movie, so I don't know the girl's name, but you've seen this movie. The girl who was like the main female lead in Free Guy, she's being rumored to play Sue Storm.
Really?
Yes. And like
I'm forgetting her name
all of
now.
these sources were all of a sudden coming out like days before D23, and they were like, this is going to be announced.
That's an interesting
So the
casting.
fact that like so the fact that those rumors were already flying out, A, that was like, for me, that was like, okay, they're gonna announce Fantastic Four. And B, I was like, if she is Sue Storm, the fans aren't gonna get what they want with Krasinski and Blunt being
No.
Mr. Fantastic and Sue.
Although I will say, Krasinski is technically credited in Free Guy as well. Jodie Comier?
Jodie
Cormier? Comier?
Comer, I
Comer.
think.
Comer,
Yes, I
yes.
think it's
She
right.
was, don't get me wrong, great in Free Guy. Free Guy is so good. I'm probably going to rewatch it soon because it's honestly such a good, like, really fun movie. It's Ryan Reynolds, so it's hard to go wrong with that. But, like, that's an inter not.
She was also in, there was a little movie that came out last year that nobody watched except for me, that had Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, and Adam Driver in it. That was called The Last Duel, directed by Ridley Scott.
Okay.
She was the female lead in that movie, and she was absolutely fantastic in that movie. So
Number one, she was Rey's mother in Star Wars. What is that? Nine? No, I think that is nine. 2019. So that would have been nine.
yeah. That's a movie we all forget about.
It's an interesting casting. Again, I Marvel knows what they're doing. I've always trusted their casting. In a couple of times they've recasted people, which has ended up working very well. That's baffling me at this point, honestly. But it's not official, so I won't pay too much attention to it at this point, but like it is a little interesting. I like it.
Before we jump into the main Marvel stuff, let's break into a little bit of D23, because
Yeah.
there was some good stuff that came out of D23, but Friday kind of set the stage for what to expect with like our big like Marvel Star Wars like 20th century like hype. Friday really kind of set the tone with the video game panel that they had. A lot of people were expecting a lot of good, big stuff coming out of that. As far as the Marvel stuff went, the Midnight Suns game that's coming out, they showed a little bit of gameplay. They announced a release date, which I didn't watch the panel, so I couldn't. Even the article that I was reading was like, release date announced. And then they didn't say what the release date was. And I was like, what?
Great reporting.
But there is a new untitled Captain America and Black Panther game announced.
Have you seen anything from that?
They showed like a tiny little teaser of it, and a little bit of information came out about it. It's in development right now with Skydance Interactive from the developers of The Walking Dead, Sins or Saints and Sinners. The most interesting part about this game is it's set during World War II, and it follows Steve Rogers teaming up with T'Challa's grandfather, Azuri. And that's all that we know.
We're not even, I'm going to forget his name now, but not even Black Panther's father, who we've seen in the movies, obviously, in Civil War and Black Panther, but his grandfather.
Yeah.
That's a cool direction to go for Marvel. It's a character that they don't really necessarily have to do anything from the MCU. They can just pull a new character almost that hasn't been touched. So that's a good choice. It looks awesome. Like, it honestly, like, even just the art that they put out from it and just like the cover. I could have swore there was a title with it, but maybe it's just untitled at this point. But yeah, honestly, like, again, I want to get it. Those kind of video games excite me, but I never play story driven video games. I would much rather watch them. To me, it's so much. Because A, if I, like, I'm a big YouTube streamer kind of guy where I can watch someone play it. A, I don't have to play it. I don't have to spend the money on it. B, you're watching it. You're almost playing it with a friend at that point. If you watch it, like, I watch, like, people like Markiplier, Jacksepticeye, those kind of people. Like, you're almost watching it with a friend. You're playing it with a friend at that point, too. So, like, it's probably not a game that I'm going to invest in necessarily. Like, I bought the Guardians game for my new PS5. I played like the first level and then I never went back to it. And it's a good game, but I just never went back. It's just not my kind of game. So it as exciting as it is, wasn't what I was looking forward to.
That was the biggest news or drop for the video game section. Most of it was like, hey, these new updates are coming to your mobile games from Disney. And it's like, what?
Do people still play mobile games beside like fucking Candy Crush and Bejeweled nowadays?
I don't know.
I play Solitaire on my iPad.
Apparently.
Yeah. It's...
So that was Friday.
Right.
Also on Friday, they had the Walt Disney Studios panel, which they announced and showed a lot more for like Disney stuff.
Right.
Which makes sense because this is the D in D23. Stands for Disney.
Jeez.
It makes sense that their big drops would be for this.
Thought maybe it stood for Daredevil, but
no, that's two D's. So I'm gonna quickly read through a list of things that
honestly I haven't heard most of these. So like we're gonna do like a back and forth initial reaction for me. I'm just like a couple words
here. It's gonna be pretty quick because I don't have a whole lot of stuff on it either. Hocus Pocus 2. They showed a new trailer that comes out on September 30th on Disney Plus.
Comes out this year.
Yes,
September 30th.
Couple weeks.
If you're doing, I get that you want people to watch it leading up to Halloween. I would do it more into October.
Sounds especially cool, since it's dropping on Disney Plus. Like,
yeah, exactly.
If it was in the theater, that would make a little bit more.
And you
sense.
Wouldn't drop it Halloween weekend, but like at least a week before. Whatever. That's still cool. I probably will honestly watch that.
Yep. Disenchanted. The Enchanted sequel.
I heard about this.
Also coming to Disney Plus, they showed they dropped a trailer for this.
Never saw Enchanted.
I never saw it either. My girlfriend loves the movie, but I haven't watched it yet.
Maybe I'll marathon.
That's coming to Disney Plus on November 24th. There's a live action Peter Pan movie called Peter Pan and Wendy. That is going to be streaming in 2023 on Disney Plus.
I don't think I can watch a Peter Pan movie after watching Chip and Dale.
The big thing about it is Jude Law is playing Captain Hook. So
interesting.
Disney was like, hey, Jude Law, we recognize that you're a very talented actor. We need you to be in everything. We need you to be in Marvel. We need you to be in Star Wars. We need you to be in animation. We need you to be in live action Disney. Just do it all.
Just please do everything.
The Haunted Mansion is getting a movie in 2023, I think. Dear White People's Justin Simien is directing it. Mufasa.
Oh, that's right.
The Lion King, dropping in 2024, the prequel to the live action Lion King movie about the rise of Mufasa.
I'm so intrigued by this, honestly. Like, Lion King was huge for me growing up. Like, One and a Half was one of my favorite movies growing up. This is so intriguing to me to do a prequel, but a villain. Yeah, very
A
intrigued.
villain.
Mufasa.
Scar's the
No,
villain.
sorry. No, yeah, no,
Mufasa's
I'm dumb.
Simba's
No,
dad.
you're right. The prequel, but yeah, a prequel about a character who dies somewhat early in the movie. Yeah, I'm very intrigued by that.
To me, this was the biggest why? Why do we need
Who
this?
asked for this?
Exactly. Who asked for
I
this?
agree.
Why do we need this? The live action Lion King movie, gorgeous. But that's about as much as I can say about that
Still
movie.
not really. Is
It
isn't it? It's the same thing,
it's
right?
the same exact movie, just you're watching dead in the face animals because they took
Yeah.
the more realistic approach. It was a very forgettable,
I also,
gorgeous movie.
this is. So, like, you have the people call post-credit scenes, right? You have that whole thing. It's actually, it is technically live action.
It's animated though.
Correct. Yes, I know what you. Yeah, it's hyper-realistic, I guess, is a better word for it. But I know what you. That's just one of my things. I always hear people say, "Oh, live action Lion King." Oh yeah, did they train those lions?
Snow White, the next live action Disney movie
Makes
starring
sense.
Rachel Ziegler and Gal Gadot, releasing
Ooh.
in 2024.
Is Gal the witch?
I believe so.
That would make sense. That's gonna. Okay, I like that.
They dropped a teaser trailer for The Little Mermaid. If you went to D23, you were lucky enough to see the full song performed live by the actress who is playing Ariel, Halle Bailey. I guess it was a phenomenal performance.
I can imagine.
The 3 seconds of dialogue that we heard in the trailer, yeah, it sounded good. And it's not an actor that white America loves, but to see in a once white performance, but I'm all for equality. I'll give the movie a chance. If the movie sucks because it's a bad movie,
Yes.
bash it for that. Don't. I'm so sick of racist
Dude,
America.
it's pissing me off. I won't even go into it.
But that swims to theaters on May 26th.
Okay.
I have an article up, and that's
I'm
exactly
actually that's fun. I love it. I'm actually so like Aladdin was very good for me. Like the live action. I love the live action Aladdin, but I never went to live action. Like they're not completely drawing me in with these live action remakes. Little Mermaid might be one that I go see though.
They're very hit or miss.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm gonna have to hear some really good word of mouth for me to go and see that in theater.
I'm not going opening
No.
day.
Next, we move into Pixar. They announced Elemental, which is a movie about an Ember and a Wade played by Leah Lewis, and I can't even pronounce that name. Coming to theaters on June 16th, 2023. I guess it's like two elements coming together to meet a family.
Holy
It's
shit.
a
I
fire
mean,
lady and a water dude.
it's gonna make me cry.
I mean, it's Pixar, so of
Exactly.
course. Win or Lose is the first original series from Pixar with Will Forte as Coach Dan.
Live action?
Pixar.
Oh, Pixar. Duh. I'm sorry. Yep. No, you're
Coming
right.
to Disney Plus in 2023. That's all we know about that. Elio
Love
is
Will Forte.
another movie that's coming out by the same creators who did Luca.
Still
This
haven't seen that.
premiering in spring of 2024. It doesn't say if it's in theaters or Disney Plus.
Okay.
The big Pixar announcement was Inside Out 2.
Oh, okay. I was genuinely just thinking, I've still never seen Inside Out. I have unfortunately been spoiled about, I mean, everyone makes the Bing Bong reference, so I know what happens there, unfortunately. I think it'll still make me bawl my eyes out the first time. I'm gonna watch it.
It
It
will.
needs to happen.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, I.
Amy Poehler's returning as Joy.
Hell yeah.
However, Mindy Kaling and Bill Hader will not be returning to their roles as Disgust and Fear.
Oh, that's
The
sad.
movie will be coming out in the summer of 2024.
Unfortunately, I mean this with no disrespect. Mindy Kaling, I think, can be replaced. Bill Hader, unfortunately, I don't think is as easy to replace.
Strange World is coming to theaters this November, November 23rd, 2022. They talked about it. There was a teaser trailer that was released early in the year. And that's about all that's come out for this movie. So I don't know.
They didn't even add anything at this announcement?
Nope.
And it comes out in November.
So
we've seen more from Black Panther than this.
Exactly. That's
crazy.
I'm a little nervous about that, especially since my boy Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be one of the voices in the movie. Huh. So it's a little disappointing that we don't get anything more from that. But
interesting.
Yeah. Disappointing. Last but not least, Disney Animation also announced an upcoming film titled Wish, which stars Oscar winner Ariana DeBose. Tells the story of the star from the Disney logo.
Interesting.
They ended the panel, the Disney panel, with a performance by this girl for one of the upcoming songs, which was written by artists Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber. This will be coming to theaters next November.
Okay.
That's it for Disney.
That's it for Disney?
That's it for Disney.
I saw some Disney television things.
Okay.
Would you like me to? There were two that struck me that I would like to bring up. Didn't hear about this until I'm literally seeing this now. The Santa Clauses.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Okay. Disney legend Tim Allen took the stage along with Elizabeth Mitchell, Cal Penn, and more to introduce the highly anticipated continuation of the beloved franchise. The first two episodes launch November 16th on Disney Plus, with new episodes airing weekly thereafter. Allen surprised D23 with it. Oh my god.
They have a mini trailer out for it.
Yep, I see that now, which I'm going to have to watch after the record here.
Basically, Tim Allen's Santa Claus is retiring. So the series
is he finding a replacement?
Yes.
Ah! Actually, I'm actually so on board for this. Yes. And oh my god, it's probably so I don't know how many episodes there are, but they're starting November 16th. If I had to guess, six episodes. They find it right before Christmas. I mean, how mwah, perfect. Amazing.
And what was the last one that you saw?
The second one that I saw, this one got me really excited. National Treasure, Edge of History. The cast of National Treasure, Edge of History, including Lisette Oliveira and Catherine Zeta-Jones, unveiled the first full trailer for the upcoming series. The series premieres December 14th. An expansion of the National Treasure movie franchise told from the point of view of a young heroine, Jess, a brilliant and resourceful dreamer, in search of answers about her family, who embarks on an adventure of a lifetime to uncover the truth about the past and save a lost Pan-American treasure. I don't know, but it's National Treasure. And I bet you we get a Nicolas Cage.
I was going to say, if we don't get Nick Cage in it, I'm not interested.
Because, exactly, because it says that it's like a, from the point of view, you know, it's an expansion from the point of view. So I don't, that, I feel like they could have said, it's happening afterwards, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe it's happening during. I think we're going to get Nicolas Cage at some point. Those were the two that struck me. I saw something about a proud family movie. I saw something else that I can't remember now. Yeah, those are the two other big ones that I saw.
Before we jump into Saturday's panel with Lucasfilm, Marvel, and 20th Century, we're going to jump ahead to Sunday.
Okay.
Because there was one big announcement that came out on Sunday. That it's pretty interesting. So they had the Disney Parks panel where they announced like all the coming attractions coming to the Disney parks. There was a very interesting announcement about an addition to the Avengers campus in Islands of Adventure at or Disney, yeah, California's Adventure Park. They will be getting a third brand new ride, which will take place in the middle of a multiverse-spanning battle. This is in addition to the still-to-open Wakanda-themed attraction. The yet-unnamed multiverse ride will feature King Thanos for the first time in the MCU. There's no date when this will open, and considering the second Avengers Campus attraction is still in progress, it's likely not going to be for some time. They released some concept art for this announcement that just looks absolutely spectacular. It's got Iron Man, it's got Thor from Infinity War, it's got Spider-Man from Spider-Man Homecoming, it's got an animated Peter Parker Spider-Man, the Iron Patriot from What If, when Steve Rogers was in the big Iron Man.
Oh, Hydra Stomper.
Yes, Hydra Stomper's on this picture. And a bunch of other, like, MCU things. But the big one that stood out to me was the animated Peter Parker. Like, they're all coming together on King Thanos, and he looks exactly like he did in the comics, which is fucking awesome.
It is funny because, I mean, Disney can only do... If they want to do anything, Peter Parker pretty much has to be animated unless they get permission from Sony. So, like, that is...
Well, there's a Spider-Man attraction. All right. I know more than I should know about Avengers Campus without having gone, because all the things that I've heard about it, it's, like, on my bucket list to go there.
Sure.
There's a Spider-Man ride that Tom Holland, like, was filmed as part of the ride.
And I'm sure... But, like... That was probably like, hey, Sony, we want to do a Spider-Man ride. We're going to do this with Tom Holland. They're probably getting something out of it. This was probably like, we want to put Spider-Man in it, but it's multiverse. Let's just throw the animated. Because we know that they can do the animated
ones. Well, in this picture, it's got both. Does it have both? The Homecoming suit, okay. Spider-Man. Not like the homemade one, but like the first Spider-Man suit that we saw in the MCU.
Gotcha.
So that one's on there. And then this animated Spider-Man unmasked, and he's wearing glasses, so it's like a young Peter Parker.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do, listen, we've talked about the possibilities of Secret Wars and the Kang Dynasty, like the people who could come back for that multiversal war. I don't think we've talked about Thanos enough, that the fact that not, I don't know about King Thanos, but like, think about like Ravagers Thanos from the What If series, like that kind of something like that. We could realistically see Josh Brolin return in for that kind of like, yeah, that's interesting. I like that. So King Thanos does look, I saw that picture though, that does look awesome.
Yes. So that was the big one, that the big thing that was announced for like the Disney Park stuff that we're interested in. Let's jump into the Lucasfilm part of the panel. They opened up with Andor. They gave us a brand new trailer, which was pretty similar to this last trailer that came out before it. Like, not a whole lot different.
No, but
they didn't need it to be that different, because I've been saying since we did the Obi-Wan podcast with Josh, I'm pumped for this show. It looks badass. It looks awesome. A spy thriller, espionage. Star Wars series. We're finally focusing on the wars of Star Wars and the rise of the rebellion.
I think you nailed it on the head there with the spy espionage type of the, like, that's the theme that they were going for. They went for very much like dark tones, secretive, in the shadows, that kind of thing. And I think something that really struck me, this is the second trailer and we still really haven't seen any CGI characters. Which I think is, again, not a knock on, obviously Star Wars is going to have CGI people, but like, I think a more focus on the realism and the spy espionage side of it, I think is very telling in these first trailers. It's not like they're waiting. Obviously the series is coming out soon. If they wanted to show us something like that
next week.
Exactly. If they wanted to show us something like that, they could have, they would have. I think it's very telling that they have. And I think it's going to be very like people centric. Sounds weird in that kind of universe, but
another thing to add to the realism, humanoid, of it, I guess. The Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, like all of these shows have been mostly recorded on the sound stages that Disney's made. Like they're big advanced like sound stages that it's supposed to be like the brand new technology, the next big thing for like all these TV shows. Sometimes it looks a little cramped, like you can tell they're on a stage and they're not like out in the open. This whole show was filmed on location. So
and the it fact looks that they already
epic and big in the trailers, it's going to be that way throughout the whole show.
Just the thing that's getting me about this is the fact that they've already committed to two seasons.
They've committed to two seasons. And
it's like 12 episodes each or something like that.
12 episodes each for both seasons.
Jeez.
They've got the whole thing laid out. Yeah. And it's not taking place in like one specific time. This show is going to jump times throughout the entire series.
It's going to be great.
Like, I think the first season takes place in 1 year. But like the next season that's coming out, like every three episodes, they're jumping like 5 years.
Okay.
So it's going to be
crazy.
It's going to be crazy. I am so stoked for this. Dropping next week. I have off on Monday after I get back from Chicago. Like the first thing on my to-do list is to rewatch Rogue One just to kind of like
I probably
get,
should
the, get in the mood, set the tone, refresh myself with Cassian Andor because he was kind of forgettable in that movie.
Yeah.
The big standout was K2SO.
Yep.
If I have anything negative to say about this first season is that he's not in the first season. You have to have him in season two. You have to.
He'll be the towards the teaser of the last episode.
He is. He is my favorite droid in Star Wars.
How else do you get someone pumped for a season two of a series that they already know characters? You bring in one of the characters that everyone loves.
So that was the first thing. They dropped a new trailer for Willow. I really don't care about it. I've never seen the old movie, so I have no attachments to this.
Looked cool.
They dropped a new trailer for Bad Batch Season 2.
Also looked cool.
And a new release date of January 4th. I'm still not caught up in Clone Wars yet, so I'm not close to watching this, so I really don't care.
I watched the first episode of Bad Batch, and it's probably just one of those things my attention span just didn't bring me back for Episode 2.
That's kind of how Clone Wars is. Like, yeah. There's some cool stuff in Clone Wars, and especially with the live action stuff hinting that, hey, we're going to be diving a lot more into this animated stuff. Like, if you want to like be fully invested in these live action stuff, you better go back and watch the animated stuff.
Yep.
That's like the one driving force, but I watch it in chunks. Like, I'll sit down for like a couple days and binge through like maybe 6 or 7 episodes, and then I won't touch it for like another month or two. After that, so I'm not excited about Bad Batch Season 2 because, again, no attachment. Haven't seen Season 1. But the one animated thing that I am excited about, Star Wars Tales of the Jedi.
Yes!
This is going to be a 6 standalone parable animated episodes following Ahsoka, Count Dooku, a young Qui-Gon Jinn, Yaddle, I saw in the trailer.
Young Dooku, too.
Yes.
Dooku.
Yes.
Like Jedi Dooku.
Looking like it's we're going to see how he turns to the dark side.
Which is not something that I thought I... Not something that I thought I wanted. But now that it's teased, like, oh my god, I didn't even think about Dooku before Sith. Like, yes, I'm going to watch this.
Yes. I'm very excited about it.
Plus more Ahsoka. I'm all about that.
This is coming sooner than I thought. October
26th. So 2023?
That's what it says.
Holy shit.
So it doesn't say 2023. It doesn't say 2024. It says October 26th. So that's, I'm assuming that's this year.
Holy shit. That's awesome.
That's going to be, dude, that's going to be right in the middle of like Andor, Werewolf by Night, which we'll talk about soon.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah, that's just going to be, I hope it doesn't get lost.
There's going to be so much content.
There's already so much content.
We're in a good lull period where it's basically just She-Hulk right now.
That we care about.
Well, sure.
At some point, I want to watch House of the Dragon.
I don't really care about
Lord of the Rings
right now. Don't give a shit about those. I don't give a shit about those two. I'm all about She-Hulk right now.
Back to Star Wars.
Yes.
Ahsoka. If you were at D23, you got a lot of good stuff about it. If you were like us, we learned fucking nothing about it. They talked about it, and that was about it, though. They showed the people who went to Star Wars Celebration, they got a trailer. D23, they were like, meh.
Why not just show them the same trailer? What the fuck?
And then why not drop the trailer?
Yeah.
And they didn't announce a release date either. Sometime in 2023.
Oh, that's probably telling then.
Skeleton Crew, which is the next Star Wars live action show. They showed the first image of Jude Law. Again, Jude Law, back in the Disney franchise.
Second time this episode.
Yep. Coming next year, I think. They just showed this image, and yeah, and that's about it.
So it's been 3 years since the last movie, correct?
Yes.
And there is not currently one announced.
Nope.
For the foreseeable future.
Nope.
That seems weird. I think people, Disney, I will say, have put too many eggs into the streaming show basket. I think there's too many that, like, I get all the animateds and they're doing Andor and they're doing all this stuff. Like, go do another movie. I know Taika Waititi is going to do a movie. Like, I know that there's things in the works.
Notice how talk about the Taika Waititi Star Wars movie was strong before Love and Thunder came out. And then once Love and Thunder came out.
But he's doing like 16 different projects.
It's true.
So like that's on him too. But
what I'm saying is
sure.
Love and Thunder comes out. There's mixed reviews. And notice how then the Taika Waititi Star Wars movie.
Sure.
Dead silent. Listen, crickets.
I just rewatched Love and Thunder. I still very much enjoy that movie.
And I enjoyed it, too. I have not rewatched it.
It's on Disney Plus now.
I know. That first showing, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It holds up. It holds up.
Speaking of Love and Thunder, not to go on a too big of a side tangent, I saw Chad last night, founding member of the Midwesterners podcast, who we miss on the show very much.
Yes.
He watched Love and Thunder.
Oh, boy.
He did not like that movie.
Chad is very hard on anything. So that
he liked all the stuff with gore until, I quote, he shit the bed at the end. And then he liked the Jane Foster stuff.
Sure.
But he found the Taika Waititi humor very distracting.
Yeah. There's always a joke coming. That's the even in the serious parts. Unfortunately, there's always a joke coming.
Hopefully, we will be bringing Chad back in a small fashion sometime soon on this podcast.
Hopefully.
Just to tease some potential upcoming events. A big Star Wars thing that came out, D23, at least for us, the general public, was a brand new trailer for Mandalorian Season 3.
Oh, that's right. It was a teaser trailer.
It was a teaser trailer.
I don't know how much new footage was even in there.
It didn't seem. From what I heard, the people at Star Wars Celebration saw a different trailer.
Ooh, okay.
So this was brand new to like everybody.
Because the one they released to the public, again, to me, I've only seen each season once. To me, it seems like a lot of shots that we've already seen with potential. Like, I think the voiceover and what they're trying to establish is obviously new, but it seemed to me like the shots were reused. Trying to tell the story of what they're building up to.
Only, like, the beginning of that trailer. And then, like, the shots of Mando and Grogu in the new spaceship.
Yes.
But otherwise, like, all the other stuff was brand new. Like, the freaking Mandalorians dropping out of the ship. And then, like,
And
all the stuff with Bo-Katan, too. Like,
true.
That trailer worked for me. I love Mandalorian.
Oh, God, yeah.
Mandalorian, I think, is my blasphemous to the hardcore OG Star Wars fans, but Mandalorian I think is my favorite Star Wars like ever. Like I love the character. Don't get me wrong, I love Jedi's just as much as everybody else, but like the nitty gritty, like dark, like and not anti-heroes, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Like the rough around the edges characters, like that's my kind of stuff.
And I mean,
that's this whole show.
And this is a season three. So, like, there's two and a half of seasons worth of story with these two characters. And there's a lot that is going to happen here. Like, all culminating after these two seasons. And, like, consequences from pretty serious actions that we're going to get out of this. Yeah, I'm pretty pumped.
I'm excited for it. Early 2023 is all that we've got now.
That's fair. I can wait that long. That's fine.
And as far as where's the Star Wars movie coming? I've heard a lot of online Star Wars people talking, and I kind of like their predictions.
Okay.
If you notice all of the the Disney Plus Star Wars shows are all taking place around like the same time. We're getting a lot of characters that are jumping in between shows.
Sure.
I think, and by I think, I mean people online think, and I agree with them, that all of these shows are going to build up and come together to like a big event, doing the Marvel method
And then
of,
it's
hey,
just,
let's do our own thing for a while.
it works.
We'll introduce characters, we'll have them
Bunch of independent
crisscross,
movies, yeah.
we'll have them crisscross from time to time to build up to this big thing, and that big thing could be a Star Wars movie.
All right. I,
A
yeah.
pitch that I heard that I think would be smart and effective is you have all of these shows build up to some big event
Right.
that has all these characters like having to come together for something.
Right.
If it's a movie, release it in the theaters, and then a month and a half later, drop it on Disney Plus to make people go out to the theater to see it.
Yeah, don't announce that you're putting it on Disney Plus a month in
Well,
or a month or two in.
no.
But yes, I would, yeah. If they
Well,
announce
but
that,
even
I'm
if you
not going to.
did, you're a hardcore Star
Nah,
Wars
I would
fan,
probably
though.
still go.
If you don't want to be spoiled about what's going to happen, it's
Yeah.
just like the Marvel movies. It's like, oh, I got to go to the theater to see it. I guess I got to go to the theater
Well,
to see
plus
it.
it's just the theater too. I like going to the theater.
Yes.
I just watched a movie that I've seen 10 times in the theater again. So that's fair.
Was it No Way Home
Yeah,
for
it
like the
was.
third time?
Yeah. I only saw
The
the
more
fun.
fun.
No, I only saw the more fun cut once, but the fact that that was probably my 10th or 11th time seeing the movie, so.
That was it for Star Wars. The last Lucasfilm thing that they did was Harrison Ford came out on stage talking about Indiana Jones 5. They dropped a trailer
Jesus.
for it for the audience to see. That's coming out on June 30th.
And we got a cute little reunion in the back because of an announcement later that I'm excited to talk about.
Yes, that's it for Star Wars. Honestly, I was kind of more excited for the Star Wars stuff that was announced
Afterwards. Sure,
than
yeah.
any of the Marvel stuff that we're now going to be talking about.
I would have to agree only because, again, I think everything in Loki, or jeez, I think everything in Marvel we already knew. There was nothing really new besides a new director, a new co-star, not even a co-star, a new feature in a show. Like there was new trailers. There wasn't really anything new.
Jumping into Marvel now, I'm gonna be kind of ju jumping all over the
For
place. I
sure.
don't know if this article's going in order of how they talked about things or not, but the first thing on here was the first trailer to Marvel's Secret Invasion.
Ooh, yes. Great trailer.
Awesome trailer.
Again, spy espionage, very dark in the shadows, very building the mystery type of thing where we don't know who to trust. I think we're going to get a huge reveal in this show that someone that we have been watching in the MCU since 2008 has been an MC like or has been a Skrull. Whether
I
it's
think it's going to be more than one person,
but
to be
yeah,
honest.
probably. But like I think there's going to be one big one. I Maria Hill is my kind of prediction, but I don't think she's big enough. I think there's honestly someone from the looks of this. I mean, Fury has been a Skrull for a while. I think longer than we realize. So I'm so intrigued by this show. So interested by this.
I
Just
was
think about the theories week to week by this show coming out. Think about at all.
Right?
There's oh, it's
Not
gonna
only
be
that,
awesome.
but I was getting very much like Winter Soldier vibes from this
Yeah.
trailer, which that's one of my top all-time favorite
I mean, we
MCU
get
movies.
Fury, Ross, Hill, someone else that I'm forgetting now. Like, there's a lot of like
Ross surprised me
it's
for
so
some reason. I
I
was
didn't
like, of course that makes sense. He's like a government type dude, like.
Rhodey. I think there's a strong chance with the recasting of Rhodey from Iron Man 1 to 2
Oh yeah.
that it's re-explained as a Skrull,
Yeah.
which is because there's a line in the trailer where he says about oh, 15 years ago I was brought in on the secret the something
The fact that he was even in the trailer, I was like, I didn't know he was in the show
no
to begin with.
no because I knew he was I knew he was announced for Armor Wars. I didn't know
Yes.
about this. I the 15 years actually in the Marvel timeline does line up with Iron Man 2.
Oh, interesting.
So there is a strong possibility that Don Cheadle is a pink Skrull.
I was not excited for this, mostly because like I had read and was a big fan of the series and sure. the comics, and I was like, how do you do this without having all the superheroes? Because that was like a Civil War type event in right. the books, where like all the heroes were there.
Iron Man was a Skrull, and someone else was it. Like there were multiple people who were actually there, like
yeah.
politicians, like presidents, like real life. Like I think Obama and someone else were Skrulls in the comic. Like, yeah, I can see where you would be at that. But after this trailer,
I was like, okay. Out loud, I was like, all right, I'm in.
And we get Amelia Clark in the MCU, so that's going to be cool.
Yes. Let's just jump into Armor Wars. They talked about it. I'm trying to find
it. Will lead directly... the Secret Wars will lead directly into Armor Wars, which is why I assumed that was happening almost. Like, that was a timeline that I had heard. So that's why I almost, like... had already thought that Don Cheadle was going to be in both of those. So, yeah, I'm excited for Rhodey. Those are the only people that were... He's the only one that's announced as of right now. You would have to assume Ironheart is going to be in that. Riri Williams, after Black Panther, she'll probably get announced. She'll probably be, they like to do their after credits, Ironheart will return type of thing. So, but other than that, we don't know much about Armor. A lot of people online were getting scared that Armor Wars wasn't being talked about more.
Yeah.
Like there was that one big announcement last year, I believe, at D23 or Comic-Con, and then there has been nothing since. So a lot of people were worried.
Okay, yes, they did say right after Secret Invasion.
Yes, so... it says it leads into it, yeah.
So that's going to be coming out next year, then.
Gotta be. Next summer type of thing, maybe? Again, it's got to have... I would assume you want Black Panther, and then you're going to do Secret Invasion. So, like...
It would have to be next year.
I mean, who else would even be in that, then? Whoever Black Panther is, potentially?
Maybe? Sure, a lot of people think that Justin Hammer might make his return, because he was... he's, like, the main antagonist of the Armor Wars... storyline in the Iron Man comics, so
well,
would love to see him back.
If we're just going by who's important in the comics, then something else was pretty disappointing later.
Coming very soon, we're backtracking. I was on the wrong article.
No, you're fine.
So now I found the one that goes in order. So the first thing that we should have talked about was Werewolf by Night.
I'm so excited for this. The trailer looks it's nothing. Like any other Marvel project. And I'm so... Because I think if there's any slight success to this, it's going to, I think, challenge and inspire other directors to play with what they're doing in an MCU movie or project. Like, they're not... It's not just going to be superhero movie every time. I think if this is any shred of success comes out of this, I think it's going to be such a big step for the MCU.
I loved the trailer. I love that it's in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
I like that it's kind of like a callback to like the 50s and 60s, like old time like horror movies. I liked the little bit of cheese that came with this movie.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of hoping that they don't go too cheesy. It does make me a little nervous because on Disney Plus they've got the little like thing up for it now.
Sure.
And they've got it labeled as a comedy.
My hope is that it's comedic and plays into that 50-60 thing early.
I hope it's a little just tongue-in-cheek.
And then all of a sudden it's just, boom, super dark. That's what I would hope for. But
we'll see. I love that the trailer ended by making it look like the film was, like, melting.
Yeah.
This was something that like happened back in the day when we got our movies on film. I might be aging myself with this question here. We're gonna take a slight detour for a second. Were you ever in a movie theater back in the day when this happened? You were watching a movie and the film melted.
That's a great question. I definitely watched film. The movie theater in my hometown was film way too late. Like, they almost shut down. They had to do a fundraiser to switch to digital. Oh, otherwise, they almost shut down. yes, I definitely watched. I'm trying to think if anything ever melted. Not to my knowledge. Not that I remember.
It happened to me once.
Yeah?
It's a very vivid memory. Because the movie that it happened in was Knowing, starring Nicolas Cage. It was like an apocalyptic end of the world movie.
Yeah.
We're watching the movie and all of a sudden like the picture gets like really orange looking. And all of a sudden it's just like it makes like this noise. And you can see like the film just like melting. Like this big old circles, just like orange circles forming on the screen.
Like Inside Out type.
Yep. Yeah. And then it's just like it's very still. It's very quiet for a while. And then somebody like three rows ahead of, like out loud was like, is that it? Like legit thinking that like, yep, the world just blew up and everybody died. And that's the end of the movie.
That's how it's supposed to go.
amazing. Usher came in, gave us a free voucher for a movie in the future. And like that was it.
They probably had to do that a lot back then, I would assume. <That's> Yeah, I'm super excited for that.
We kind of already talked about this. They mentioned the director, Fantastic Four. That was our only Fantastic Four announcements. Then they talked about Captain America, The New World Order. They announced the cast for it. We not only get Sam Wilson, but we also get Carl Lumbly as Isaiah Bradley coming back. And Danny Ramirez as Joaquin Torres, who is Patriot, I believe, in the Young Avengers. He was like Isaiah Bradley's kid, right?
He's the guy in the he's working with Sam super early.
Oh, is he the soldier dude?
Yes, he's Falcon in the comics.
Yes. He's the new Falcon.
He takes over Falcon.
Yes.
So I would assume that's also probably going to happen in this movie. Which good. He was honestly really good in that show. I really enjoyed him.
The biggest announcement.
Yeah.
Tim Blake Nelson joins as Dr. Samuel Stearns, reprising his role from 2008's The Incredible Hulk. Again, this is a movie that everybody forgot was even part of the MCU because it's not Mark Ruffalo. And right now, Marvel's like, no, this movie is relevant, and here's why.
People honestly forget that Thunderbolt Ross and Tony Stark were in that movie.
Yes. Thunderbolt Ross played a huge part in that movie. If you don't remember who Dr. Samuel Stearns was, he was the
scientist.
Mr. Pink? Or Dr. Pink?
They had Mr. Green. No, Mr. Blue. Mr. Green. Something like that. Because he was Mr. Green. He was
the one that was helping Bruce.
I think it was Mr. Green and Mr. Blue. Something like that.
That was trying to help Bruce cure.
But then he had Bruce's blood. He was experimenting with it. He then helped Abomination.
The last time that we see him, he gets a drop of blood, of Bruce Banner's blood, on his head.
And then his head bubbles and starts to grow slightly. This evil smirk hits him.
Dr. Samuel Stearns in the comics? The leader.
It's literally, I mean, in most, I don't know if they actually said the leader at the announcement, but most everyone is just, he's returning as the leader.
He is the Hulk's most known villain.
Yeah.
Other than Thunderbolt Ross.
I think it's so interesting.
The US Army.
Right. It's so interesting that in She-Hulk, we obviously bring back Emil Blonsky. We mentioned that, I mean, it's She-Hulk, so she's going to break the fourth wall, but we mentioned the Mark Ruffalo change, and now we're bringing in the leader. Like, I think there's a lot. I think it's unfortunate because the actor for Thunderbolt Ross passed away.
Yep.
So I honestly think we probably would have saw him as Red Hulk in Thunderbolts.
I think so.
Unless they want to recast him, which they could. We could still see that, but I love that they're bringing all this stuff back. The leader, I think, was such a missed opportunity with that. Which brings me to another point. With all this stuff coming back after The Incredible Hulk 2008, I'm so surprised that we didn't get like a World War Hulk announcement. Because that really feels like the next step.
Yes, and This could be under the same theory that I had about the Fantastic Forecast not being announced.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe a deal hasn't been fully broken yet, but
Unfortunately, yeah.
all of this Hulk stuff is not a
No.
coincidence. Yes, Universal still technically owns the distribution rights, meaning Marvel could make a Hulk movie. Universal's the one that gets to release it and gets all of the profit.
Why would they not just let them out? Yeah. Marvel's probably trying to negotiate some.
Either that, or maybe those rights are coming to an end sometime soon.
They should honestly just fucking buy Universal.
Or just buy.
Buy the rights back.
Yes,
Yeah.
buy the rights back.
Yeah.
But maybe they are. Like I said,
Yeah.
all this Hulk stuff that's coming out, all these characters, it's not a coincidence.
No.
It can't be a coincidence. They are definitely building towards something Hulk
They
related.
sent Bruce Banner back to Sakaar. There's gotta be something in that. There's gotta be something in that.
That was the big thing to come out
I
of Captain America.
the leader versus the Sam Wilson's Captain America and probably the Falcon, like the new Falcon. Like that is and with the absence of Bucky, I'm assuming, because of a later announcement.
I was just about to ask, do
I
you
think
think he's
that's
going to be in there at all?
I think maybe at the beginning. Unless I don't know what the timeline would I think Thunderbolts is after. Captain America. I would assume maybe at the beginning he says, "Hey, I'm going to do whatever." Like, write him out of the movie or something, or maybe that's an after credit scene somewhere else. That like, I don't think Bucky's going to play a huge part in this. I really do think it's going to be Sam Wilson, Captain America, and the new Falcon.
Me being the big Bucky fan, Bucky being like one of my favorite all time like
Oh yeah,
comic book characters, the selfish part of me wants him to like
be
show
involved.
up in the beginning, and Sam being like, hey, I need to like figure this thing out, can you help me? And he's like, yeah, sure. And we see him in the beginning, and then like the majority of the movie, of course, is Captain America, the new Falcon, like being the leader and shit like that. I want Bucky to come back in at the end of the battle.
He still could. He
He still
absolutely
could,
could.
and I hope he does because
I just think he's going to be tied up in things that I would assume are going to be happening around the same time.
more Bucky the better
Oh,
is what
always.
I gotta say. Speaking of Bucky, going into our next announcement, I think this was the biggest Marvel announcement that came out at D23. The announcement of the official roster for the Thunderbolts. We get the one that I'm the most excited about. David Harbour back as Alexei. I'm not even gonna attempt that last name, aka the Red Guardian.
Correct.
Hannah John Kamen is returning as Ghost.
Yes.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus coming as Valentina. Sebastian Stan, Bucky, he's gonna be a part of the team. Wyatt Russell is John Walker, aka US Agent. And Florence Pugh coming back to be Yelena Belova. That is our lineup of the Thunderbolts.
You missed Taskmaster.
Oh, they didn't even have tech. Wow, Marvel.com, you suck.
Ooh, you suck.
Marvel.com, you missed Taskmaster.
Olga Kirilenko. That's my attempt at that name. She was good in Black Widow. Yes, Taskmaster is also back at this. Very mixed reaction at this announcement. Where's Abomination? Where's Zemo? That's my biggest gripe is where the fuck is Zemo?
Do you remember the little episode that we did about the Thunderbolts, like a
Yes.
month or two ago?
Yes.
Do you remember what I talked about with Zemo
Probably not.
in that episode?
Do you think he's the bad? Do you think he's the one that they go up against? Do you think he breaks out of the raft and then he's like the antagonist of the? Or do you think he takes over towards the end of the movie?
I think Zemo is gonna be a part of the team. Some way, shape, or form,
Okay.
and I feel like he's being kept a secret right now. A very poorly kept secret because the link to Disney and their breakdown of the announcements in the link for that article, Zemo is in that link for the Thunderbolts announcement.
I see that kind of hinting and that kind of teasing to me again is like he breaks out and like maybe they're trying to catch so the for this cast, right? It's all super soldiers and Ghost. That's the whole joke on the internet. whatever. That's fine. They're all cool characters in their own right. To me, this cast says it's going to be a very, like, low-key, secret mission type of thing. Like, it's not an Avengers-level threat. It's like a smaller covert mission that all these people need to go for. So, I think Zemo, maybe Zemo teams up with fucking Carter. Why can't I think of her? The Power Broker now. I don't know. Maybe there's something between those two. Maybe Zemo gets out and he takes over Madripoor now that Carter's over in the U.S. I think that Zemo has to play a part in this.
In the comics, the first initial run of Thunderbolts, the huge spoilers for the comics, if anybody cares. Oh, yeah,
for sure.
The first issue is building up this brand new superhero team.
Correct.
Of a bunch of these characters that nobody really knew about.
Right.
The big twist and reveal at the end is all of these heroes, quote unquote heroes, are secretly villains.
Right.
And the leader is not like the American whatever his name was. I don't. He was kind of like Homelander, where he had like an American flag cape and all that shit. He wore a mask, took the mask off to reveal another mask underneath. A purple mask is Baron Zemo. Baron Zemo was the leader of that Thunderbolts team.
Yep.
My tinfoil hat theory, I feel like the most hated person on that team for the public, Taskmaster, I think is going to be revealed to secretly be Zemo.
But wait, she survived.
She survived, yeah, but nobody fucking liked that iteration of Taskmaster. So why, unless they find a very clever way to redeem her, and the fact that, like, I don't know. Taskmaster in the MCU is a lot of made-up bullshit that wasn't, like, how it was in the comics, which pissed off a lot of people. Myself, liberties
like that all the time.
They do, but I don't mind if you take a liberty and do it successfully.
Sure.
I felt like that was not successfully done. Sure. But Marvel has proven me wrong in the past before. If they find a way to redeem her, great.
That would be a super cool twist if they could pull something like that.
I do feel like Zemo is going to be in this movie and a part of this team in some way, shape, or form. Is that the way? Maybe not. I'm actually really excited for this announcement. Yeah. All the people online that are bitching and moaning, like, what do you think this movie is? Like, look at this cast. Yes, it's not an Avengers team. It's not an Avengers-level team. To me, this is the MCU doing, like, a Secret Avengers without calling it Secret Avengers.
This is the MCU doing Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Thunderbolts is kind of like that.
That's what
in general, but
What superpowers were in the Suicide Squad? There was a guy who was a shark and a guy who was a crocodile. Everyone else was like a really good sharpshooter or a really good fighter or could throw boomerangs. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a lot of suits. So, like, I think that's what most people are.
All these people are like, oh, yeah, it's a big team of super soldiers. Yeah, that's fucking cool.
Super soldier.
You know
super
what else soldier, it is?
Assassin, a super soldier.
And it's a ghost. Team of assassins and spies.
Correct.
We talked about how excited that we are for Secret Invasion. Now we're going to get another, like, spy espionage thriller-type movie.
I think once we get, like, more, like, a trailer and more, I think more people will be excited.
Plus the cast. I'm so excited for these characters to have to interact. Who's the leader? I don't know. I feel like Bucky is going to be forced to be, like, a somewhat moral compass because, like, his involvement in Falcon and Winter Soldier, having to deal with John Walker,
yes,
having to deal with...
That's the big thing for me. Hey, well, Yelena dealing with Red Guardian, right, Alexei? They're not on good terms. I guess they kind of ended on good terms towards the end there.
But well, Taskmaster,
that too. God, this is literally three different movies and whatever. I am most interested to see how and why Bucky will deal with John Walker. Because why would he ever, unless he's literally forced to, why would he ever be on the same group as John Walker at this point?
Unless he's like, I need to be a part of this to make sure that, like, that you're all doing what what you're saying you're gonna do. You know,
like Valentina's very persuasive. We know this. She can phrase it as like, this group is very unstable. You need to be the person who keeps it together. She could probably,
or she's like, hey, I need you to be a part of this team. And then once he figures out who's out on this team, that's why I think he's going to be like the unwanted moral compass, where he's going to be like, I don't want to be here, but I feel like I have to be here because I know none of these people are good.
Be a very cool
threat. Not only the John Walker Bucky interaction, I'm really excited to see the Bucky Red Guardian interaction, the Russian Captain America, and how Bucky's going to take that. Plus, this is the perfect opportunity for the MCU to fix one of the biggest, in my opinion, one of the biggest missed opportunities.
Okay.
They did not give me the Bucky Black Widow relationship that was so iconic and pivotal in the comics.
Sure.
If they gave that relationship to Yelena
and Bucky,
I'm good with that.
Not sure how I feel about that.
Because in the comics,
right, yeah,
Bucky trains Natasha.
Right. Interesting.
Yelena's part of the Red Room too.
Yeah.
She's technically a Black Widow too.
So is Taskmaster.
Exactly. Which maybe Bucky remembers training Taskmaster too.
Wouldn't mind that, actually.
He makes the most sense to be a part of this team.
What I'm very excited for, in a sick, twisted way, is John Walker on a team with three women. I know the kind of person that they portray John Walker as. Very trying to be politically correct. He's going to try to assert himself over these women so many times. I think there's going to be so many like microaggressions and I'm excited for Yelena to put him in his place at least once or twice.
Well, not only that, but like I said before, like competing Captain America types. Plus, if Taskmaster gets her shield back too, you got three shield wielding people.
I'm pretty sure she's holding it. John Walker's not holding a shield in this. She's holding a shield in the picture.
Yeah, in the concept art that they released. So to get,
the more and more I think about it, yes, it's not what people were wanting and what expected, but I'm still excited for this.
I'm excited to see the character development and this team interacting with each other, going on a secret covert mission, which I mentioned it earlier. I do feel like this is going to be like Marvel's way to be like, we want to do Secret Avengers without doing Secret Avengers, which is like, do the missions that like the normal Avengers can't do. Not just because they're disassembled right now, which right. Kevin Feige did say at D23 that the Avengers are quote unquote officially disassembled at this point. Sure. So, but having these heroes go and do things that like the normal public either shouldn't know about or like can't know about, as far as like political grounds and all that shit goes, I'm excited. I'm super excited for this movie now. I was intrigued and I was a little excited before, but now I'm pretty pumped for this movie.
Yep, I'm pretty pumped.
Loki season 2 is in development right now.
Yep. One last thing about Thunderbolts. I want James Gunn to direct it. After his success with the Suicide Squad,
I don't think he will.
I don't think he will either. But that's my dream
director. Honestly, I feel like once Guardians 3 comes out, Warner Brothers is going to make an announcement like they did with Matt Reeves, where they've hired James Gunn to like a exclusive like massive deal to do like a bunch of projects and like first looks and all this other stuff.
Unfortunate, but probably true.
Yeah, I feel like James Gunn's going to be done with Marvel once Guardians is done.
Maybe more Peacemaker.
Which he is. Loki season 2. Like I was saying, the cast came out. They're in the middle of filming this right now. Not a lot of information was given out, but I'm excited.
But we get the star from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, yeah, he's joined the cast.
Ki-Hoo Kwan. I'm so excited. He took a 20-year hiatus from acting because Hollywood's stupid and passed him by for so long. He comes back and gives us that performance, which, yes, we'll get back to that in a little bit here. And now we get him in. Now we get him in Loki, which I'm so excited for. And that was the what I mentioned earlier. Him and Harrison Ford taking a picture backstage was very cool.
Hopefully they utilize his martial arts skills like they did in Everything Ever All At Once.
It's such a good casting after his multiversal performance in Everything Everywhere All At Once. Like, yeah, it makes so much. Like, please make him play several characters because he is phenomenal at it, apparently.
The next thing that they talked about was Ironheart. Kevin Feige and Marvel, they made a non-announcement of the fact that Anthony Ramos is officially the Hood, the villain of Ironheart, which photos of him on set were already leaked like a month ago. I think we talked about this then too.
Probably. Yeah, because I definitely remember bringing him up and saying how much I liked him in Hamilton and in The Heights. Great actor. Very excited. Hood's... I think we talked about this exactly, because I talked about how the Hood is a magic-wielding villain. It's very interesting that they're hitting him against Free Williams and Ironheart. So, yeah. Still excited.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, coming out next year. The cast was there to talk about that.
Pretty... Apparently... like they were shown, the people who were there were shown some like major footage, like kind of spoiled some stuff. I literally didn't hear what it was because no one would say, but I'm very intrigued because there's already some leaks about what came out before at Comic-Con as well.
All that I heard was that they showed MODOK again, which
can't wait.
People are not happy with how he looks, so that's going to be interesting.
No one's going to be happy with anything. Is there not? This might be a question. This is a question for you. There is a group in the comics, a villainous group. MODOK, the leader, and someone else.
AIM.
Yes. Potentially, could be something.
Yeah, it would make sense.
Would make a lot of sense. I can't remember who the
if AIM does come in. And we don't have the beekeeper suits, like, I'm going to be a little disappointed. Because that's iconic to AIM. It's just their beekeeper-looking hazmat suit. As silly as it is, I want it.
Right.
I want it. The Marvels were there. They talked about that.
Apparently, we get confirmation that... So, at the end of Miss Marvel, she goes to where... Monica was. Monica goes to where Captain Marvel goes, or was, and Captain Marvel ends up in Kamala's room.
Interesting.
Apparently Monica was outside of the space station where Nick Fury is. So that's where Kamala ends up.
Oh, okay.
Again, there wasn't much beyond that. I think there was footage shown of this. And that's where I heard all this. But that's kind of the opening point to the Marvels. Amon Vellani said in an interview, like, at the beginning of the Marvels, you're gonna figure out what happened there. So
okay,
very intrigued by that. I'm excited for that movie.
I'm pretty excited for that movie too.
Yeah.
Which says a lot because I didn't find the first one all that great.
Fair. Not a lot of people did.
The cast of Echo came out and did a presentation. Vincent D'Onofrio came out and confirmed that Kingpin is going to be in Echo.
I believe there was a shot shown of him with a singular eye patch or singular eye wound or something. So they won't fully go into the comics where both of his eyes are shot out, but yeah, we're getting confirmation that that's happening. So I don't know if they're going to go with fully blind.
Speaking of fully blind,
doesn't Vincent D'Onofrio say something about my show, and then off stage Charlie Cox goes, "Don't you mean my show?"
Yeah,
and that's awesome.
Came out to talk about Daredevil Born Again, and made it pretty clear that this isn't going to be Daredevil season 4, but this is like a brand new Daredevil series.
Brand new
Daredevil. I am still buzzing over that little itty bitty detail that Kevin Feige dropped at Comic-Con, saying that not an 18 episode series, but a first season.
We're getting more Defenders. That's what's happening.
Oh,
I'm excited.
Just more Daredevil. I cannot be any more excited.
I'm sticking to my prediction that we are getting, and again, episode 4 comes out tomorrow as of recording for this.
Yes.
I still think that at some point they might need to hire a PI and they hire Jessica Jones. That's just my theory, but I think it's a good one.
Speaking of She-Hulk, they showed, since they haven't started filming Daredevil yet, Charlie Cox was like, I do have one thing to show you. And they showed a scene from the upcoming episode.
Oh, that's right.
With Daredevil and She-Hulk. And he did confirm that Daredevil will only be in one episode
of She-Hulk. Yeah, I figured it was going to be like either he's helping her with the case or he came to her with the case or something along those lines. I would assume connected to Kingpin or, like, I am theorizing another Defender.
I don't know if it was announced here during, like, the introduction of the scene or if they talked about it, but I heard somebody say that she is hiring him to be her lawyer.
For the what just happened in episode 3, I think, where she got served.
Yeah. Oh, so she needs a lawyer.
Oh,
a superhero, and who better than to hire the guy who just was Spider-Man's lawyer?
Why did I not think of that? Who I again was am thinking that he might already be part of GLKNH. I think I would assume he's already part of the superhero division, or at least some sort of high up division, because he's representing Peter and then he represented Happy. Those are the only two people that we've seen him represent.
And something that I didn't really think about until now, but maybe we get even more of an idea of how Strange's spell works if they mention the fact that Daredevil represented Spider-Man.
Potentially.
Maybe if he says that, maybe if they say that he represents Spider-Man, but because nobody knows who Peter Parker is.
Funny, because you don't have to.
If it's brought up with him, how he talks about that.
Kid. Yeah, because like in Matt Murdock's mind, you don't have to wipe him seeing Peter at all. You only have to wipe the fact that he knows Peter Parker's thing.
Yes.
It'd just be Spider-Man at that point in his memory. That's a pretty easy one then. That, yeah, very interesting. You would have to assume it comes up, like his past, like recently I've been doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Last but not least, the cast of Wakanda Forever came out, and they showed the scene of Queen Ramonda, like, giving her speech in the trailer about how, like, she lost her family and all that stuff. They got to see that full scene.
I'm so excited for that movie.
I think it's my most anticipated movie for the rest of the year.
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah. I can't think of anything. I mean, unless we're... I don't know if they've even done anything with this. But we're also getting... I know it's not a movie, but we're also getting the Guardians Christmas special this year as well.
They didn't even talk about
it. I know, which is concerning. But I know it's still happening as far as I know.
A little weird.
Very weird. But at the same time, I mean, it's just going to be like Groot also just kind of happened on Disney Plus as well. So I'm not too worried about it.
There is one more thing to note. There's an investors call in November. And we all remember the last investors call. That was even bigger than D23 as far as announcements came. Like, that was the one that announced like fucking everything.
Hugh Jackman's coming back.
Which, I guess, can bring us to our final thoughts.
Yeah, like, what the hell wasn't announced? Like, everything... Okay, so there's a theory about, again, contract disputes, like we've been talking about with other... Like, there's a theory out there that all the X-Men and Fox actors can't legally do anything with Disney yet. Like, they're going to be able to. It's almost like a waiting period, like a certain time has to pass for them to be able to announce that they're doing anything with Disney. I think there's obviously still so many holes in Phase 7 with that timeline that they showed with only Fantastic Four and then Secret Wars and Kang Dynasty. I'm now in two camps of mind where it's either most of those are X-Men movies and mutant movies, establishing them so that they can be in Secret Wars, or we're not getting any in Phase 7, and after Kang Dynasty, we're going to get mutants in the MCU, and in Phase 8, 9, and 10 are basically only mutants, with a few other ones sprinkled in here, you know, a Doctor Strange, a Shang-Chi, you know, those kind of things sprinkled in. I don't know. I just want him. I just finished rewatching Miss Marvel again, and the whole like that just got me revved up again. I really want the Marvels in the MCU.
Final thoughts on D23.
Final thoughts, very disappointing. But again, as most Marvel things are, I think that was what we were expecting versus what they obviously planned on. You know, it's expectations versus reality. I'm excited for Werewolf by Night. I'm excited for Thunderbolts. The announcement of the leader was super cool. The announcement of what was the other one? Anthony Ramos, but we already knew him. But like, I think the announcements that they made are cool. It's just, again, not exactly what the internet was hyping for.
Yeah, I would agree. I wanted some more Fantastic Four stuff. That was the big one, and for me, Deadpool 3.
Yes. Oh my god.
The fact that like it's basically been announced, but hasn't like quote unquote officially been announced. But even Ryan Reynolds is like, oh, training for Deadpool right now.
Again, to me, that says that he's probably going to show up in a future. Like he's going to debut in a upcoming like project, which logically to me is She-Hulk, and then it's like, okay, here Deadpool 3 is blah blah blah, you know. Yeah, that one was disappointing too.
The little stuff that we got for Marvel, like again, I'm excited for the trailers that we got. I personally am really excited for the Thunderbolts lineup. Everybody who's not online doesn't know what they're talking about can suck melons for all I care. Melons, lemons, I don't know. Suck a dick, whatever you want.
Suck a fruit.
Suck on something. But the Star Wars stuff, just because I think it's like the soonest coming, and like the things that were released to the general public, not just the people that were at D23. I think as far as announcements go, they overall won the weekend. I loved the trailers that came out, and they've gotten me the most excited, I think, out of all the stuff that was released, which is saying something because I'm the big Marvel guy. And right. if Star Wars is getting me more excited than Marvel at this point, like, they're doing something right. Like, it may not be like the movies, and they may not be like the zeitgeist of the pop culture right now like they want to be. But as far as like their stuff goes, that makes me excited. Disney's stuff in general that was announced is very hit or miss. Some of it I'm intrigued about, and some of it I'm still baffled about, like Mufasa. But
all of it, as it comes out, I'm sure I will look at it. But it's not like I'm looking forward on my calendar. Well, except for the Santa Clauses. It's not like anything I'm like putting on my calendar and waiting for. Star Wars, I'm like everything Star Wars, I'm actually super excited for. And like you said, like it is weird that like I'm also kind of more hyped for Star Wars, which is very weird because like I'm again same as you, super into Marvel. I think Marvel's just I think Marvel knew that everyone was going to be extremely critical after Endgame, so I think not that they're phoning it in at all, but I think that they are very much using this phase 5 as
phase 4. We're in phase 4 right now.
Oh, yeah, we are. We're ending phase 4 with, yeah, you know, you're right. They're using this phase and the next phase as setup. Not necessarily even setup for phase 6 or 7, but as like 8, 9, 10. I think they knew that there was going to be so much criticism going into everything coming up that they are basically like, okay, let's not focus on making, you know, Secret Wars and Kang Dynasty are going to be cool on their own. We don't necessarily need to. We can set up to make the next step even bigger, you know. So I'm not too worried. I'm still enjoying everything that's coming out.
Yeah, and moral of the story is don't let your speculations become expectations, and maybe not get too hyped with the internet, you know.
If you expect disappointment,
You'll never be disappointed.
Don't expect the fire until you see some smoke.
Yeah.
So that's final thoughts on D23.
Yep.
Glad we got the information that we did, but can't wait till we get even more. And before we wrap up the show, we're going to jump into one of our favorite segments on this show, the best stuff recommendations of the week. Kyle is like jumping up and down in a seat right now. I can see him in person, not just the top half of his torso through a computer screen. Kyle, I think you saw a little movie recently, didn't you?
A small movie, not much critical acclaim or anything, are on the, yes, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Finally. Oh my God, where do I even start? It's so good.
I guess you can start with what took you so long.
Yes, me procrastinating and... Yeah, I every time that something like that is hyped up, I always go back and I watch it and I'm disappointed. I still have never seen Squid Game because at the time of the hype, I just never got into it. And then afterwards, it's like, well, I'm too late at this point.
I mean, I'm sitting the same.
Yeah. So. but this, I kept hearing, just kept like, this is so good. This is so good. This is so good. So fine. And I've been wanting to watch it. Like, it's not like I've been avoiding it either. For some reason, it just never happened. Finally, it went out on digital. Me and Zach bought it on Amazon Prime. We watched it. And I mean, just from start, I was hooked from the beginning because I wanted to understand what was about to happen. But it also immediately hooks you. Like it immediately wants to convey the chaos while still trying to establish order, which is insane. But then it just tells the story so well. Like that's all I can really say. I forgot probably about halfway through the movie that it flashes up part one, everything. And when they roll credits and it literally says the end, directed by the man, why can't I should know their names now. The hell is it? The Davids? No.
I think you might be right.
Maybe. Either way, when it said, with the end, directed by, I was like, well, that was a fucking weird way to play it, but really good movie. I was like, okay, that lived up to the hype. And then it just keeps going because I was like, oh my God, no shit. There's two other parts that are still coming. I totally bit on the fake ending, which was phenomenal. I did not see the themes of the movie, but once they hit towards the end, it was clear what they were telling throughout the, which is just a mark of a phenomenal movie and great storytelling. They handle multiverse travel and like logic so well. I heard a joke when both movies were out, that and Doctor Strange back in May. Like, you want to see a good representation of the multiverse, don't go watch the Marvel movie, go watch this independent movie. And they're absolutely right. Like, it's not that I still will defend Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, but this movie portrays it so well. The storytelling is amazing. The logic is incredible. Yeah, it's honestly my favorite movie of the year. Easily. Honestly, might be in my top five movies of all time at this point. I'm going to watch it at least one more time, probably five.
At least one more time, yeah. I could probably text you at any random night and be like, hey, what you doing? Yep. You'd be like, I'm watching Everything Everywhere All at Once.
It's just so, I mean, the comedy in there is impeccable. I like the everything bagel is just so funny. The googly eyes at the end, the comedy in which he can defeat people. Like, I.
A couple of rocks made you cry.
Yes. Several times. Yeah, just amazing. And the fact that, like, the reason she's the chosen one is because she's shit at everything. Like, I just, it's so good. It's just, it's so well done. I'm mad at myself that because they're honestly my new favorite directors because I also, me and Zach last year watched Swiss Army Man, which is a phenomenal movie by the same directors. And I'm really mad at myself that I can't think of their
Davids.
Daniels.
Daniels.
It's the Daniels because it's Daniel something and Daniel something.
Yep.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. Apparently, they've had this idea for years, and it's just taken this long to get them on board and or to get them rolling. Yeah, I could go on for a whole episode about this movie.
I've only seen it the once in the theater. It was part two of my double feature back in the
God,
spring.
That's a long part two.
Back in the spring when I saw Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and then immediately went into the theater next door and watched.
What a day!
It was a glorious night.
Two phenomenal movies.
We saw Sonic at 4, and I think we got out of Everything Everywhere All at Once around like 10 o'clock.
Can you imagine if you saw Everything Everywhere All at Once first, and then you saw it? I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would have been able to enjoy Sonic 2 after that. It still holds up, but
that movie does still hold up because I did revisit that a few weeks ago.
I'm just like, if you watch those two movies back to back, yeah, that's a hell of a day.
Yeah, that movie still, the Blu-ray still sits unopened on my our little end table thing where I've got all my to watch movies.
Yeah.
So at some point in the near future, I'll be revisiting that.
It's so good. Jamie Lee Curtis, I didn't know she was, I mean, she has such a phenomenal role in there too. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My best stuff of the week is also a little movie, and by a little movie, I do mean a little movie. another indie movie, the third installment of the Kevin Smith directed Vuce universe, Clerks 3. I mentioned earlier that I saw Chad yesterday, and by yesterday I mean Tuesday when we're recording.
Right.
We're recording on Wednesday. I saw him on Tuesday, and we went to Clerks 3 together. Chad is one of the biggest Kevin Smith fans that I know. He has told me, and I think he's even said on this podcast a few times, that he would literally go down on Kevin Smith if he had the opportunity. That's how big of a love he has for the man. We went to the final installment of the Clerks franchise, and this was a really good movie. I was expecting the silly goofiness that you get from Kevin Smith in his movies, and I was expecting a well-told moral-ish story that you get with especially the Clerks movies. I was not prepared for how hard this movie hits at times, especially towards the end of the movie. It trying to be as spoiler-free here as I possibly can, but this is the final movie of the Clerks franchise. I'm not saying it's the last Kevin Smith movie, but it's the last Clerks movie that you're going to get. And Kevin Smith, you know, he's a very emotional man. And when he says, like, hey, this movie might hit you in certain ways at certain points, you're like, yeah, okay, Mr. Emotional Guy. Like, I doubt I'm going to cry, like in a Clerks movie. And very early in the movie, I'm like, why am I crying? And then, like, especially at the end, I was like, what? It was a really good movie. It's been 24 hours since I've seen it, and like it's been on my brain like a lot the past 24 hours. So that tells when you've seen a good movie is a movie that sticks with you, that makes you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
A big chunk of this movie is like the characters are. It's a very meta movie where the characters are kind of redoing things that actually happen. So like a big part of the movie is like, one of the main characters has a heart attack in the movie, just like Kevin Smith had a heart attack like a few years ago. So like going like into that, and the whole concept of Clerks 3 is that character surviving the heart attack being like, I've wasted my life. Like I need to do something that means something. I'm going to make a movie about my life. And that movie is Clerks, the first one.
Holy shit.
So it gets very meta. One of the highlights of the movie is the audition scene. You get a lot of really great celebrity cameos in that scene. But yeah, it was a phenomenal movie. I don't want to say too much because I teased getting Chad back on the show in some way, shape, or form in the near future. If things work out the way that I'm hoping, next week we're going to get a conversation with Chad about Clerks 3.
Big stuff.
Big stuff coming. That's the only tease that I have for you for next week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the plan, you know?
If that doesn't work out, I'm sure we're going to talk She-Hulk, because it's been a few weeks and a few episodes since we've talked about that, so.
We only talked about the first two episodes, didn't we?
Correct.
So we can talk about, yeah, 3, 4 next week if we need to.
Yes.
If not, we'll do 3, 4, 5 the next week.
Regardless, more She-Hulk talk is coming in the future. Andor talk is probably going to be joining that coming up soon, too.
And we get to hear that sick Midwestern's TV talk theme.
Oh,
I listen to it every time I edit.
I'm so glad that you love it, because I worked so hard on that.
I can tell.
It was a passion project of mine. I hope you all enjoy that intro, because it was a lot of fun to make. We have been your Midwestern Nerds. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to midwesternnerds@gmail.com. You can find, listen to, and stream our podcast wherever you find, listen to, and stream podcasts. Please remember to rate and review, share, and subscribe. Be kind, please rewind. All of those things help this podcast to continue to grow and be the Midwestern Nerds podcast that you, the listener, want to listen to. For your Midwestern Nerds this week, I have been Brian Stoffel.
And I've been K.O. Kyle Olson.
And whether it's beer brats, comics, or disappointing announcements, but still announcements nonetheless,
keep it nerdy.
Damn, first take.
I waited. I knew that I knew the pause was coming. I knew the pause was coming.
Excellent. Amazing.